Hello, and welcome to WrestleSpective Radio. I'm Jason Mann. With me here is the Stellar One, Josh Hatchett.
Stellar One,
huh? Stellar One, yeah.
Good deal.
A little different, yeah. You know. And so we're rocking and rolling. Not literally. We were not actually rocking and rolling. But we are here to talk about some professional wrestling. And Josh, I understand you have a few things to say about TNA.
Well, you know, this this last abomination of a pay-per-view, which seems to be the trend for them since, oh, I don't know, several years now.
2002, perhaps?
Yes, okay. We'll go with that. You know, it blows my mind that they do not realize how mocked they are within the wrestling community, outside the wrestling community. Pretty much in all circles, they are mocked, and yet Eric Bischoff and whoever, it goes on down the line that they think they're putting out this superior product. They have this thing of arrogance where it's just like, well, you don't know what you're talking about. We know what we're doing. This is a great product. You know, if you don't think it is, you're a simpleton, and you just don't understand. You just can't grasp everything that we're doing. And that's how they treat it. And then 8,000 people buy the show, and yet they still can't realize or admit or make a change or do something. I mean, every person in there, from Hogan to Dixie Carter to Russo to everybody, is a complete moron. And they don't get it. And I just have no idea how you could be wrong this many times and for this many years and not come to the understanding that you're not doing something right. It's amazing to me. If you did this in any other walk of life, any other sport organization, you'd either be out of business or fired. And it's amazing. And, you know, Bischoff, he tweets that, oh, Nexus is boring and, oh, yawn, I'd rather watch paint dry than see what Nexus is up to. And then he puts out this just utter garbage week after week and thinks it's superior, and yet everybody tells him that it's not. Yet, you know, him and his group of five friends think it is, so he keeps going right along with it.
But, Josh, first of all, mere mortals are like us.
Yes.
Are not meant to understand the genius of Vince Russo.
That's
first
true.
Of all, I mean,
yes. Okay.
that's obvious. So let's not even go more into that. But you know, Eric Bischoff. I mean, in the 1990s, I mean, he presided over the NWO.
Oh, I forgot. Yes.
And you know, who are you to question? You know, a man who, with an overwhelming success 14 years ago.
Yes. That one, you know, the one good idea that he had.
And you know, the fact that he hasn't been able to repeat that success, you know, in the past 12 years, that's irrelevant. That doesn't matter.
Just that one time you did.
That's not important. And, you know, you just don't understand because, you know, you're just a fan. You know, you just, you're just a wrestling fan. You're not in the business.
I'm not in the business.
You're not in the business. So, you know, how could you possibly understand professional wrestling if you're not in the business? I mean, you're reading about it. That's not helpful.
No.
You know, educating yourself. No.
Watching.
Actually watching it on television and, you know, taking note of what works and what doesn't work based on, you know, crowd reactions or, you know, even more importantly, you know, following what's been successful and not successful in wrestling history. That, you know, who does that? I mean, that's just silly.
Nobody, yes.
I mean, I don't even know why we're, you know, having this argument because
I'm obviously wrong.
You, yes. Clearly, I mean, clearly you have no idea what you're talking about.
Yes.
and why, you know, and you're basically also you're biased against TNA. because you've dared criticize, you know, anything about it. So that must instantly make you biased and, you know, and not really worth, like, any sort of, you know, your opinion really doesn't have any validity or any credibility.
Well, see, this is the thing, though. At the beginning of the year, I wanted TNA to become a legitimate challenger to WWE. Now, I realize this might put me in some sort of rubber room or, you know, something like that, thinking it could happen. But I went out of my way to try to praise everything that TNA did to the point where you could almost say in January, February, I was a TNA homer. And I would be overly criticizing WWE and really trying to get TNA, you know, really hoping that they would get on the right track and do this. And now it's gone from that to complete disdain for the product, and I refuse to watch or do anything with TNA, much like everybody that I listen to, you know, when it comes to wrestling podcasts has done pretty much the same. So I've gone from one, you know, in 9 months, I've gone from hoping that would work to not even caring and hoping it just blows up. So,
you know, they say that you're a dreamer, but you're not the only one. Josh, I'm now going in serious mode. You're absolutely right. And it is sad that despite having pretty much every advantage when it comes to, you know, having, you know, rich people bail out the company after it, you know, lost a disastrous amount of money very early on, and having Spike TV, you know, having the benefit of Spike TV being interested in having pro wrestling product after WWE left them, despite, you know, having a good time slot, having, you know, being moved from, you know, having 2 hours on Thursday, a night in which wrestling has actually succeeded pretty well, mm-hmm. you know, including SmackDown for many years. They don't seem to be able to continue to grow and to build new stars, and they have to bring in past stars constantly, and, you know, that's obviously not led to much growth and, you know, pays fewer and fewer dividends every time they do it.
But how could they not realize, I mean, I don't know, I probably asked you this hypothetical question 10 times since we've been doing this. How do they not realize that what they're doing is not even close to right?
Because
I mean, it like blows my mind that they couldn't realize this or see this.
Because your way of thinking is old school wrestling, and that only worked for 100 or so years.
Yes.
But you know what they're doing worked for 5 years.
But they created the NWO.
Yeah, and you know Vince Russo, you know, made Steve Austin and The Rock and The Undertaker and Mick Foley and Vince McMahon all under big stars.
Yes,
through his brilliant writing, and it had nothing. There was no other reason for it. It was only his brilliant writing.
Yes.
So I don't know why there's an argument. You know, you just accept what TNA, you know, shovels out at you, and if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter that it makes sense. It's just wrestling.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. Why would it matter that it makes sense?
I guess
wrestling fans are all idiots that just, you know, accept whatever shoveled down with them, you know?
Yes.
And I mean, you know, why ask questions about WWE either? I mean, they obviously, you know, I mean, you know, they're just, you know, why have a memory of more than 3 months about things, you know?
It's true.
Yeah.
This is true.
I mean, you know, why remember that, you know, hey, John Cena's dad once got punted in the head by Randy Orton, and now he's crying that Randy Orton gets, you know, beaten up by Nexus.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that going to get you?
Nah.
I mean, Randy Orton's a babyface now, so, you know.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy now, so, you know.
But you came up with one good idea, 15, you know, 12 years ago.
Sure.
That would be like, say, you know, as a journalist, you wrote this good story 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And instead of, you know, trying to find another way to write a story, every story that you write from there on out is uses the same lead, the same style every single time, and you expect it to be successful.
It's like
the only idea they've ever had.
No, it's like M. Night Shyamalan.
Yes.
He, you know, he had the sixth sense, mm-hmm. which, you know, had the big twist ending and, you know, excited everybody and was, you know, well done story. Then he had, Unbreakable, which was, you know, fun and, you know, and also very good. I even think it's better, but, you know, regardless, you know, had another twist ending, you know, it was fun. It's like, oh, we didn't see that coming. Then you had Signs, which, you know, had a lot of good stuff, and then it kind of had an ending that was kind of like, oh, and this kind of feels like forced and like formulaic, and, you know, like, oh, are they going to move on from this? And then everything after that is basically like, oh, it keeps being, oh, it keeps getting, it's sort of the same thing, but yet worse.
Yeah.
And I have not seen any of his recent movies, so I don't know if he's still doing the twist ending, but the point is,
they're still all bad.
Okay, yeah. The point is, you can't, you know, just go into that well, because the well dries up.
Yeah. They had a decade to come up with one new idea. I mean, one idea in 10 years. I mean, you could have... I mean, it's amazing. They couldn't come up with one single new idea in 10 years and went back to this one.
Well, you know, you can't, first of all, you cannot be a success in wrestling unless you've been on television for 7 years.
That's true. Kevin Nash did.
Yeah. I mean, so first of all, so, you know, it's not like... So
then they only have like 3 years.
Yeah. Right? You also can't have opinions about wrestling unless you've been in the business for 7 years, so...
That's true.
Yeah. So that corollary also happens, so... Yeah, I don't know why you're bothering. So,
I guess I shouldn't.
Yeah, you wouldn't understand because you aren't part of the business.
That's true. I'm not in the gang.
No, you're not in the gang. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, you know, you hear that every once in a while from professional wrestlers, don't you?
Yes.
You know, and you know, I don't know, because to me, it feels like people in wrestling sometimes have a tendency to not be able to see the forest for the trees.
You think?
Yeah. Like I can understand, like, on an intellectual level how something, you know, might, like, how a professional wrestler might perceive that something, you know, that they're doing would work when it's not working. Like, let's just take, like, Chris Jericho when he was, like, having his losing streak,
mm-hmm.
for example. Wherein, you know, Chris Jericho was defending that... as like, oh, well, you guys don't know where it's going, and so, you know, and I can, you know, I can get people to boo me at the drop of a hat, and
yeah.
you know, and all of this stuff, and people were complaining, and you know, he may very well be right, but my point is that don't just try to counter argue somebody's point of view by saying, I'm a pro wrestler, so I know better than you do.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I mean, okay, a professional wrestler at least knows more than I do about applying wrestling holds
mm-hmm.
in a way that is safe for other wrestlers and taking bumps. And, you know, I would think that if you're, you know, you've been in the ring for a long enough time and you understand ring psychology, you can certainly put together a better match than I, at least like in an intellectual level, could think about, like, you know, mentally how you put together a match, because I haven't done that. So I, you know, those sorts of things, you know, yeah, wrestlers do know better. Of course, it's a good experience to have. It's yeah, but it's like, you know, a movie director who has experience putting together a movie and, you know, has done so a lot, you know, it would obviously understand that craft, but do you think that Michael Bay, who has made, like, dozens of movies, is a better critic of movies than Roger Ebert would be?
Definitely not.
My point is, the skills that it takes to do something and observe something and understand something are different.
Yep, totally different.
Yeah. You know, so if you're a person who has done their research and who understands and who watches, you know, watches and studies, you know, professional wrestling for a long time, that is a different type of experience than somebody who is, you know, in professional wrestling. Now, obviously, people who are in professional wrestling, some of them are very smart. Some of them, you know, can look at things and can, you know, a lot of them obviously watch a lot of professional wrestling and can understand, you know, what works and what doesn't work. But there is a worthwhile outside view that, you know, a person, you know, a critic or a fan or whatever you know, with an insight and an understanding, you know, that is a point of view that should not be discarded or considered inferior to professional wrestlers just because, you know, they're in the business and we're not.
Yeah. But, you know, in a sense, it's just like a professional athlete. You know, he may be excellent at whatever game that he is playing, but that doesn't mean he's going to be a great coach or a great analyst or, a great, something from a different perspective.
Yeah.
In describing
general manager, for example.
Yeah, or general manager. I mean, some like you said, some wrestlers are smart and intelligent, can relate to that. Some athletes are smart enough to be able to, have good commentary or good analysis, away from the game. But not everybody's going to do that. And other people that didn't play can offer better analysis of a game than maybe someone who did. You know, it's kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, you look at like Isaiah Thomas, who was one of the, one of the great NBA players in yep. NBA history. And then, as a general manager, trying to put it all together and, and sort of like, in some respects, it's like a wrestling booker. I mean, mm-hmm. you're looking at the entire picture and trying to put together a team and, trying to get all the pieces in play. Obviously the creative aspect isn't there, but otherwise it's sort of, there are similarities, and he was terrible at it.
Yep.
And, kept doing things and making mistakes, and he just didn't understand how like all everything, fit together. And, I had a debate, with someone on Twitter about the subject was about wrestling chants, and basically I am completely I'm not completely against any chants, but I really dislike the the sarcastic, not even sarcastic, that's the wrong word, but like the witty chants.
Yes, yeah. like you're a smart fan, you're a hardcore fan if you chant this.
Right, like, this is awesome, which isn't particularly witty, but it's very much the idea that, I'm wrestling you, this is a performance, and you are entertaining me, so yeah. I am saying, this is awesome, where, as opposed to, like, an MMA or a boxing fight, which is a sporting event.
Yes.
Where, you don't see, even if, two guys are standing up and, hitting a flurry and doing exciting stuff, you don't see people going, this is awesome. They cheer
chant their name.
Excited. Yeah. Or you might chant their name if they knock somebody down or something like that. But, mm-hmm. Superfly Jimmy Snuka came off the steel cage a couple of times. Mm-hmm. One against Bob Backlund, when he was a heel in, I think, 80 or 81. And the other more famous one with, Don Morocco after their steel cage match. Now, how did the crowd react in that sense? Did they chant, this is awesome?
No.
They did not.
Went berserk.
Yeah, they just, went like,
enjoyed the moment.
I saw a huge thing. Yeah. And, I understand, okay, the wrestling industry has changed and people now know more much about it. A lot of secrets are out in the open and all of that. But I feel like when you're chanting at wrestling and, as a performance, you're sort of degrading like what they're doing. Like it's sort of disrespectful, I think, in a way. Now, the person who I was debating, who has a background in pro wrestling, felt like the crowd is reacting to what you're doing. So this is good. This is this is a good thing. You want them to do it, and my training indicated that. My training taught me that, getting them to respond, you don't want them to be dead. You want them to respond, which I can understand that point of view, and it makes sense to me. But, me as a fan, not as a wrestler, but just my perspective as a fan, it bothers me when a crowd reacts that way. And I think it gets in the way of the match. And I think it's why in a lot of independent shows, I can't really enjoy it very much because it takes me out of like the illusion of a sport. I mean, obviously I know that wrestling is, it's not a real sport. It's a pretend sport, but it helps, it makes it more exciting to me to, I suspend my disbelief, as popular term.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more fun that way. And, when fans respond to wrestling as a sport, not a performance, you know, that's great. And, you know, obviously, you know, fans, you know, they have the, it's, you know, freedom of speech. You can do what you want. But to me, it's obnoxious and annoying. And, you know, when indie promotions, you know, I don't know if they encourage it or not, but, you know, I would think, I just think that would not want to be a thing you would want to encourage. And I think there's a mentality among some wrestling fans that, like, you know, we're the show, or we're part of the show, and, you know,
it's not even close.
The wrestlers are the show. Yeah, yes. No one's there to hear you chant. You know,
that's as old as anything about sports or entertainment is. You're not supposed to become part of the show. I mean,
right.
It takes away from the performance, and you know, you talk about, you know, the guy that you debated this, who was a wrestler, saying, well, at least it's a reaction. Well, it's not a natural reaction. You know, to chant, this is awesome, is not a natural reaction to something that you enjoy. You know, when a guy scores a touchdown, the whole crowd's not chanting, this is awesome. They're just
right.
Cheering.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
you want a natural reaction, and that's cheering.
Yeah. Like, you know, in a play, you mean you clap. Or, you know, I don't know, I don't go to a lot of plays, but you get the idea is that, you know, you applaud and you're happy.
Whistle.
You laugh if it's funny, you know, yeah, those are things, yeah, you might whistle, but you're not chanting at the actors like, you're a good actor, yeah. You know, or anything like that. I mean, yeah, it's...
And it's not intelligent or advanced or, you know, anything like that either. It's just...
Yeah.
It's not natural. I don't know... If that makes sense at all, but
I think it does. It's a good way to put it.
It doesn't seem like it works at all. You know, it doesn't just seem like it flows to just someone does a good move and then you chant in response to it. You know,
it's like fans goofing off entertaining themselves, you know, mm-hmm. rather than, you know, actually paying attention. Like, I just feel like, you know, if I were a wrestler, I would want people. Like, if I, you know, took a huge bump off of a platform or something, and rather than saying, you know, holy shit, or this is awesome, I want them to, like, be concerned, like, wow, he just hurt himself, and I hope he's okay, and I hope the guy who I'm rooting for is okay and can come back and win this match.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want them to really think I'm hurt, but I want them to think that I'm hurt in, you know, in the sense of, you know, I'm now in jeopardy of losing this match. Oh no, I hope, you know, my hero can, I'm going to be the good guy, obviously.
Yeah.
I hope my hero can come back and do this, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, I mean, I think we've pretty well explained the point of view of this. And, yeah, I think it's, you know, this is one of the reasons why, the obnoxious chanting is one reason why ECW's never done it for me, with, you know, some exceptions. There's some great stuff in ECW. We've talked about our feelings in ECW before, but I think the chanting, I mean, I think it's a big thing, and I just think it's, you know, it just takes away so much. And, you know, I think there are people who love the chants and who, you know, love, you know, that atmosphere is just really electric and really exciting for them, and it, you know, it makes it for them. But just for me, I don't know, maybe I'm just old or, you know, out of touch or whatever. But
an example that I was going to say that comes to mind is just real quick that just came to me. It was,
sure.
When Lesnar suplexed the Big Show off the top rope and the ring collapsed,
sure.
on SmackDown,
yeah,
people just went like bonkers over it. I mean, they were like, half of them are surprised, and the rest of them are just like jumping up and down, going nuts. And,
yeah,
I mean that just made the moment. Like, people are just going nuts about it, and you know, if that was, you know, somewhere else and they did that and everyone's chanting, this is awesome, instead of just reacting with, like thinking this is awesome and reacting with just, you know, cheering and going nuts and
absolutely
going crazy.
Abandoned, yeah.
I mean, that's just just makes the moment to me.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I just think, yeah, that transcends, you know, the moment, you know, when you can just, you know, get a crowd that insane and, like, not even thinking about, like, how excited they are. Because,
and
another thing about the this is awesome thing, I mean, it's really chanted a lot at moments that really, especially in TNA, where it's kind of like...
It's not really.
Yeah, where it's like, yeah, you know, or this is wrestling, that one's annoying too, or, you know, you know, I don't mind razzing a heel why, you know, maybe, you know, it's like an overrated or, you know, or I don't know, some sort of like, you know, or like a Larry, you know, like Larry Zbysko, Larry sucks or, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that all chants are bad. I just think chants that undermine the story mm-hmm. of the match are bad.
Yep.
Yeah. And, we'll segue into last thing we're going to talk about, which is actually we're going to talk about a professional wrestling match that we just watched. And one thing we're trying to do, or at least I'm trying to do, I don't know, I don't want to speak for you, Josh, is trying to watch a little bit more of some independent wrestling mm-hmm. and try to get a little bit more, because yeah, I don't have, you know, I obviously have watched, you know, indie match here or there and, you know, have some exposure of different things, but I definitely could know and learn more. So, talked to a fan on Twitter who's a big Chikara fan, and she suggested this match. Well, she suggested a different match, but I couldn't find it, so I told her I own the Best of Chikara DVD, and then she suggested a great match to watch would be Mike Quackenbush versus Claudio Castagnoli. It's from the show Negative Balance, which took place on August 13th, 2005. And what did you think of the match?
You know, I thought it was a pretty good match, a very well-worked match. You know, obviously, two guys are very, very talented and know how to work together and, you know, do all the high spots and things like that. And, you know, for me, the big thing that I'm just trying to kind of put aside when I'm watching, you know, independent shows, and I've really tried, you know, since I've changed satellites, you know, dish stuff and things like that, I've been trying to watch ROH, you know, on a weekly basis. And, you know, the big thing that I'm trying to get past now is just kind of like the production and the crowd and, you know, things like that, and just kind of put that aside and just watch the wrestling. And, you know, this takes place in a, you know, little rinky-dink place and, you know, not very many people and, you know, it's not a great picture quality and not a great ring and not great announcing, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and I'm just trying to put that all aside and just
focus on the match
itself. Focus on the match itself.
Right,
that's
right.
Kind of the big thing that I'm, you know, still trying to do when I'm watching, you know, some independent stuff. So,
yeah.
You know, I guess as a whole, the match is very good.
Yeah, it was fun. It kind of reminded me a little bit of like a 90s cruiserweight match, mm-hmm. like something you'd see on Nitro. I think some of the work, some of the Castagnoli's like punches and slaps, they looked a little weak. They were not strong. You know, obviously this is a match that 5 years ago, so mm-hmm. you know I'm sure these guys have developed or, you know, changed somewhat since then. I haven't watched. I think I saw Castagnoli pretty recently. Was he on the Ring of Honor show we went to in I think it was March?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, I'm not positive he was on that show, but yeah, I've seen him here or there. He looked different. He was he's bald now, and his physique's much more defined, I think, since this time. But anyway, whether, you know, he's obviously on Ring of Honor TV. You know, he teams with Chris Hero in the Kings of Wrestling tag team. So. Anyway, yeah, you know, I enjoyed, you know, there was a kind of a cool delayed vertical suplex that Claudio did. I mean, he held him up mm-hmm. there for quite a long time, and, you know, Quack's good baby faces, facial expressions were good, yeah. You know, did some cool high flying, you know, and I thought, you know, for the most part, you know, it was definitely a fun thing. It wasn't like it wasn't really a blowaway match for me, but you know, it was fun and entertaining, and definitely, you know, I of all the promotions that are out there, I think Chikara kind of seems like more like my cup of tea. Although the style might take a little bit of getting used to, and it's more of a lucha influenced style and mm-hmm. lucha. You know, I've seen here and there, but there's definitely a different like psychology of lucha that I'm not entirely used to, but I liked one nice thing is there were no stupid chants from the crowd, so yes. they were actually seemed into the match. Yes. It seemed like into the story, and that was really cool to see. Mm-hmm. And I know that Chikara's like kind of like you know, it's some goofy characters and kind of like it's meant to be sort of like a, you know, a family friendly alternative without, you know, kind of being like, you know, insulting or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, or, you know, insulting to your intelligence kind of thing, like WWE can be sometimes. Yes. So, but yeah, so, you know, definitely entertaining and worth checking out. And, we'll, you know, maybe try to throw in a few, you know, I think I have a PWG DVD and I've got a couple of ROH DVDs. So maybe mm-hmm. We'll bust out a random match here or there, try to find some stuff on YouTube. And yeah, if people have suggestions, they can definitely, you know, email us at wrestlespective@gmail.com. And you know, sending links is always good for matches if you know that they're available online. Or, you know, check us out on twitter.com/wrestlespective or facebook.com/wrestlespective. And you can find us online at wrestlespective.com or wrestlespective.podbean.com. So, Josh, anything left to say about TNA or any other subject we've addressed?
I'll try not to talk any more about TNA and just focus on the good things. Okay. You know, I've tried to get into ROH and I really like watching their TV show from a match standpoint. They do a great job with the tag teams. Mm-hmm. You know, as we've talked about, I'm partial to the tag teams.
Yes,
and I enjoy some tag team wrestling, and they do a great job with the way they've built their titles. You know, with the Briscoe brothers and. You know, the, kind of the feud that they're doing now, and it's a lot of fun. So I'm enjoying that. So
good.
It's a kind of
good.
A new thing. So
yeah.
I like that.
I'm disappointed that ROH took down the channel that was showing a lot of the ROH TV. Unfortunately, so I don't really have access to it. I don't have HDNet, but yeah, obviously try to find things online or you know or what have you. I know they have the internet pay-per-views, which I've heard have some issues sometimes with technical quality, but you know, as far as the matches that you're getting, certainly something that might be you know worth checking out at some point if we can. But yeah, so we'll try to you know maybe 2011 we'll try to stay on top of independent wrestling at least a little bit more and try to you know catch up with that along with our classic wrestling content mm-hmm. and everything. So. And talking about stuff for today. So, sounds good.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening, and we will talk to you again another time.